This podcast replay is brought to you by RedRecover.com. From NFL stars like Hayden Hurst to daily warriors like yourself, their wraps and pads are designed to deliver maximum benefits with each treatment anywhere you go.
Hey, there he is. He's ready to go. And aren't you glad that the Hunt family runs your team?
It's been an interesting couple days for the Dolphins.
Interesting 13 years, bro.
Well,
you go hardball hunting, you create a whale for a logo, you celebrate Tebow and the Gators in a stadium where your other tenant is the Canes. I mean, this is the kind of shit that's been going on since he took over for 13 years, dude. Yep. And now Bruce Beal, this is the clown that's set to take over for Stephen Ross, who's 80 years old. This is the guy that's buddies with Tom Brady. This fool hasn't even taken over and already helped his team lose a first and a third round pick. And he's the guy that got the longer suspension because obviously he's the guy that obviously had the tie to Brady and all of that. It's, you know, you watch the Hunt family and then you watch the shit that goes on here. And it is just baffling, my brother. Baffling.
Well, I know this sounds almost like a joke, but I'm serious. The worst part of all this is that they didn't get Brady. Like, you tampered for 3 years and still didn't get him? And he's playing.
And by the way, you would have then been busted for tampering and you would have gotten Brady suspended.
Yeah. You would have, but at least you would have had Brady for a few years. I mean, like they didn't land him, and he's on a team playing in Florida. Like, it's not like it was like, well, I don't want to go there because geographically I don't want to live in Florida. Like, no, he's in Tampa. Which nobody would ever take over Miami. Like, if you had those two options of places to live, I don't know too many people who would live in Tampa.
Nobody.
It's a horrible look, but also look, it changes a lot of things. I tweeted this yesterday. Like, this is obviously a huge year for Tua, but with them losing a first round pick, it now makes it a hell of a lot harder for them to move up and get a quarterback if they need to. If Tua doesn't play well this year and whatever, if unfortunately got hurt again or something, and they just decided, hey, look, we love this kid at Ohio State and Stroud or Alabama, and we're going to move up, and we've got two firsts, we've got all assignment. Now they don't.
Nope.
And because you lose a third-round pick in the future, you're probably even less inclined to move up because you have less ammunition to begin with. So you go from this position of strength, even if it wasn't for a quarterback, by the way, even if they wanted
it was just to load up more around Tua.
Right. Even if you wanted to say, hey, look, we're going to go get a star pass rusher. We're going to go get, you know, maybe we're going to get a stud right tackle.
More importantly, if Tua kicks ass, that one of those first round picks would have been traded back again, because that's what he does, to get more picks is what he would have done. Is probably that would be my guess, actually. He would have created more ammunition because he had the luxury of having a good team. And again, he's in that window of, oh, we haven't paid the kid. Let's try to get this thing done and get over the hump. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's look, all of it's bad. And, you know, by the way, not the least of which if I'm a Dolphins fan, I'm even more pissed off about it. Is this whole idea that Stephen Ross was joking that he'd hand out $100,000 to lose games?
Come on.
I mean, you're joking. It's a weird joke to say over and over and over, according to this report.
It's a lie. It's a lie, dude. It's a lie. The league didn't go after the tampering because they're in bed with betting companies now. They can't have a McGonaghy, the name of the NBA guy? They can't have a situation like that. They can't have the impression that teams are tanking and you're, you know, tied up with DraftKings. So you can't do shit like that. That's why they didn't go after him. They know he did it. Everybody knows he did it. And here's the thing about Stephen Ross. You already done this with Harbaugh, dude. You have no credibility. And he still is in denial. Instead of being a man and address his fan base and say, I screwed up. I was trying to win. I was overly aggressive. I made a mistake. I apologize. No, dude, you're the 10-year-old that keeps lying to me that you didn't do this when I know, son, you did this because you're 10 years old and I can see it in your face. You're lying. I did the same thing when I was 10. This is Stephen Ross, bro.
This is Stephen Ross. And you know what? I mean, again, it goes to, and you never see him really publicly. I mean, he's always kind of behind, at least from a national perspective. You know, you never really see him talk, which, by the way, that's true of a lot of owners. You don't have to be public. But when you screw up like this, you probably ought to come out and give him mea culpa and do exactly what you pretty much just laid out. And with the NFL, you're right. The NFL is not going to readily admit that an owner basically told the coach, hey, look, we're good. We like not to win games this year, and I'll give you a little money on the side. I'll say one thing, say whatever you want about him. You know, and I know some people in Miami either feel like they should have moved on a coach, some feel they shouldn't have. Brian Flores, even though he's technically not going to win this lawsuit, he's vindicated because he was right. Like he was 100% right.
Yes.
You know, I mean, say whatever you will about the man as a coach, whatever. I actually think he's a very good coach, but he was vindicated with yesterday's findings. And so, look, if you're the Dolphins now, the concern I have with the Dolphins is, I'm a big believer, and you and I have talked about this a lot, actually. Everything starts with ownership and then runs downhill. It does in sports. It does in every aspect of business. If you have good ownership, you may go through a lull, especially in sports where it's cyclical and that happens, but you will rebrand, you will figure it out, and you will rise back to the top because that's what you do because you're smart and you can pivot and all the rest of it.
Miami Heat, bro. Miami
Absolutely.
Heat.
Absolutely.
And we've talked all you need Pat to see. Riley
and Mickey Arison. You look at the Dolphins, and that's a concern I have. Well, that team is talented, but is it going to be run correctly? Are they going to do the right things? I mean, maybe if
wait a minute. Here's the thing. Here's where I'm gonna tell you. Football people down, they're doing the right things. It wasn't Chris Greer that wanted Watson. It wasn't Marvin Allen that wanted Watson. It wasn't Reggie McKenzie that wanted Watson. Those three guys didn't want Brady. Those three guys didn't want Sean Payton. Why would they want to lose power? Because that's what would happen if you bring in Brady, if you bring in Sean Payton. So they didn't want that. This was all the periphery. This was the head coach that hated Tua because Flo was not a Tua guy. He wanted Jordan Love in the draft, and the three guys had to convince him, yo, dude, we are going with Tua, not Jordan Love. And he wanted Jordan Love, and from that moment, he didn't like Tua. So he made it impossible. So he wanted Watson. So he was bothering Watson. He was bothering the owner for Watson. And then the owner and Bruce Beal, because Beal is close to Tom Brady, they're the ones that started talking about Tom Brady. Really, I believe the football people, if you watch the football people do their thing, their trades, their transactions, their free agent signings, all of it, there's a rhyme and a reason to all of it. Every bit of it. The rhyme and the reason gets lost once you go above those guys and you start talking about the periphery with Flo wanting Watson and the ownership group going after, you know, Brady and all that stuff. So that's where it changes. They're not allowing the football people to do their jobs.
I agree with you for the most part. I think that the football guys, look, I think McDaniel's a solid hire. I think Chris Greer, for the most part, is done very well in terms of building the roster out. But the question becomes, how much of that matters when you have an owner who is, and I know Jerry Jones hates this word, who's a meddler and does things that, like, look, what? Hey, we all work in businesses. We all have bosses. I have bosses. Now, my bosses at Fansided are great. But if my boss at Fansided said, hey, look, you're gonna do X because we need you to do it. I mean, unless I'm prepared to walk out the door, I've got to do it because they signed my paycheck. And so, you know, you wonder, you know, with Ross – you know, I'm sure the football guys had nothing to do with Brady and Peyton. I agree with you. Peyton, for them, that makes no sense. They don't want to do, but it doesn't matter if Stephen Ross is right-hand man. Like, I am a Knicks fan. We've talked about this on the program, okay?
Right.
The Knicks have had good basketball people, but it hasn't mattered because James Dolan just decides to get involved. This whole thing right now, Donovan Mitchell, right? If James Dolan gets involved, that trade will happen in an hour. Because he will give away every single thing the Jazz want so they can sell Donovan Mitchell jerseys. You know how I know that he hasn't gotten involved? Because Donovan Mitchell's still in Utah. That's it. Like, and that's what you wonder with Miami. As Miami has more success, and I think they will have more success with this team, like, can Ross stay out of it? Or does it become a thing where, hey, they start to become a sexy team, they're good, they're on more national games, and now Ross wants to be more a part of it? That is the deathly concern I have if I'm a Dolphins fan, is that he just gets way too involved and hurts what is going on. And he has, because now they don't have a first round pick. Well, they have one first round pick, they don't have two next year.
Yeah, no, because your fantastic front office kept setting you up down the line while improving the team with extra picks. They made that Laremy Tunsil trade grow and grow and grow like no one has, because that's what great front offices do. And now you cock block them. You know what I mean? To me, that's the part that kind of pisses me off. If it's just Reggie McKenzie comes from, he didn't deserve to get fired at Oakland.
No, he did not.
He took over after they made the Carson Palmer trade, where he had no first rounder his first year as GM and no second rounder the following year. He still ends up with Derek Carr and Khalil Mack and a really good team that ends up in the playoffs. Then he has one down year and they fire everybody and go with John Gruden. And hey, I hope you like what you got out of that. You know what I'm saying? And so I think you got the kind of front office that can even overcome this stupid ass mistake by the owner. You can't keep overcoming these mistakes if you keep having these issues above you. So at one point or another, what you're going to end up doing is screwing up the front office that you have, and you're going to lose the good football people, and they're going to say, I can't work in this environment, bro. We do all of this, and this guy's, you know, above us screwing us over. I'm off. I'm running. I'm getting out of here.
You know, it's funny you mentioned the Raiders. Like, the Raiders are a perfect example of what we're talking about right now. Like, Al Davis became a character later in his career and later in his life. But for the first 40 years of owning that team, Al Davis was one of the more brilliant minds who's ever owned an NFL team.
Al Davis, to this day, is one of the five most important people in the history of the NFL, period.
No question. No question. I mean, right there with Paul Brown, George Halas, Lamar Hunt, you name it. Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. And was a brilliant football mind. I mean, a guy who really would zig when others zag. Was also one of the more inclusive people ever. Art Shell.
Actually, one of the few football owners that was a real football guy.
He was a coach.
Okay. Right. Yeah. He was a coach, scout. He was the top scout in the AFL, dude. He's the guy that went to the black colleges. He's the guy that said, no, man, there's a ton of talent in the black colleges. Let's go get football players. Who cares what they look like? And by the way, to his credit also, his organization – you know, was always the most forward-thinking organization. They gave minorities at every level and sex an opportunity like no one else ever has. So that's the other legacy that he leaves behind too.
Ask Art Shell or Amy Trask about how forward-thinking he was. Absolutely. But my point is, you know, he obviously passes away. His son Mark Davis takes over the team, and they largely have not been able to get out of their own way. And, you know, if you notice with the Raiders, how many in the last couple of years, how many front office, like high level front office executives have quit, have resigned from that organization? That is a bizarre thing. Most people are not just walking out of jobs that are paying them millions of dollars at the NFL level. Okay. And it continues to happen. And that's why, quite honestly, it's one of the reasons anyway. I don't like the Raiders are a trendy pick. Obviously, the AFC West is a crazy division this year. I will believe in the Raiders when I actually see it happen, because for years on end, it's been, hey, they've got this star, they've got that star, but it doesn't work because there's no leadership in the building. There's never any leadership. And with Josh McDaniels, maybe it works out. Every time he has not been near Tom Brady, it has been a train wreck. Every time.
And the same thing. They get cock blocked by the owner, and you know, nobody will ever respect the Cowboy coach, because you've got the owner after holding the press conference and telling you, no, we've got to use this guy, we got to run that guy, this guy. So then what the hell's – why do you have a coach for?
It's the same problem that Dallas has had. And Jerry Jones had Jimmy Johnson, and he fired him after two Super Bowls. And he fired him, and they won a third with Jimmy Johnson's team. And they have been utterly useless ever since. And you know what? If you are a coach there in Dallas, it is impossible to have any power, to your point, because if you're a player and you're having a dispute, you're going to go to Jerry. You're going to go right to Jerry. That's where you're going. He's the GM. He's the team president. He's the team owner. You're going to him and or Stephen Jones. That's where you're going. And so if you're a coach there, you can't run the locker room. You can't have your owner after a game going in there and talking before the coaches do. it can't happen. And I think the best organizations, they have an org chart, they know their roles, they stay in those roles, and they move forward. And that's going to be the challenge for Stephen Ross. Stephen Ross has to understand that he's the owner of the team. He is not the GM. He's not the coach. He's the owner. He's an 80-year-old man who owns a team, has a lot of money, and that's great. Worry about putting the football people in place, which I agree with you. I think they have to a large extent, and then let them do it. And then you get all the credit. You get all the credit. If you win a Super Bowl, you get a big ring too. You get the biggest ring if you want.
You get to lift the trophy and then hand it to the coach and just step aside, bro. That's it.
Just get out of the way.
I never hear from the Hunt family. No. I don't hear jack shit from them. I hear from Andy Reid, and then I hear from the GM every once in a while. That's how it's supposed to be. The Rooneys. You don't hear anything from the Rooneys at all. It's all Mike Tomlin, and then draft comes around, the GM will come around and address things like normal football teams. The Maras, they try to stay away. Obviously, they've done a pretty bad job of running the team lately, but overall, as an ownership group, they'll be good again because they'll be good again. Maras. Yeah, exactly.
You look at Jeffrey Lurie in Philadelphia. You don't see Jeffrey Lurie. He may talk once a year. Stan Kroenke, he might talk once a year. You don't see in Seattle for years and years and years with the Allen family. You don't see them.
Mickey Arison, doesn't talk.
Right.
Doesn't have to talk.
There's no need. If you're the Miami Heat, yeah, Pat Riley and Eric Spoelstra, that's fine. Like, we'll hear from them. And that's, in the end, the owner should have nothing to say other than, hey, look, we're really happy with the direction of the team. We're happy with our coach. We're happy with our GM. And, hey, show up at a couple of press conferences every once or twice a year if a big player signs or there's some kind of a business thing going on. If you follow the Chiefs, yes, Clark Hunt talks literally at the beginning of camp once, kind of gives a state of the union, and then usually once during the offseason.
Some owners meetings or something in the offseason. Yeah, like normal owners do.
And it's more of a PR thing than it is. And, you're not going to be asking Clark Hunt about some in-depth personnel decision. He would say, well, ask Andy or ask Brett. I don't know. And I'm sure he does know, but he's not going to sit there and have a whole host of conversations about it. Look again for the Dolphins.
Look at the Lakers. Their ownership group is now involved in like the whole. Yeah, it's like a soap opera, yeah. And this is why you end up having a mess because you don't know how to hire the sports people and then get the hell out of the way, dude. Just let them do their thing. You should come back a year, two, 3 years later and say, oh, you've done a great job. Here's an extension. You didn't do a good job. We got to make a change and then go ahead and disappear again. That's it, man. And that's the problem that I think that now you're going to have there is you're going to have trouble if you lose these guys down the line. You're going to have trouble replacing them with quality people because they know quality people will have better options. And in the end, the money just is, it's all the same everywhere now, pretty much. And especially in the NFL, everybody can pay you pretty much the same, except maybe Mike Brown or something.
Yeah.
Outside of that. But most people are going to pay you pretty much the same. So it doesn't matter. You're going to have better options. And that's kind of what I'm afraid of.
Now the Dolphins are nowhere near this point, but it's like with Cleveland, okay, with Jimmy Haslam. When you fire coaches over and over and over after 1 year, okay, coaches don't want to go there. Coaches don't want to deal with it. Now, he fell backwards into Kevin Stefanski, who I think actually is a very good coach. But, we've talked about this. Now, we don't know what's going to end up happening with Deshaun Watson. I know he has been recommended to be suspended for 6 games. He might end up being suspended for 6. He might get 17. He might get 12. Who knows? Roger Goodell has that power. Should know today, maybe tomorrow. Deadline's tomorrow. You look at the Browns, and who would want to go there and feel confident that they're going to get an honest, fair shake of running the organization as a GM, doing so as a head coach? You never know what you're going to get with Jimmy and D. Haslam. Deshaun Watson coming in there, I would guarantee you that was a Jimmy and D. Haslam situation where that was just, and look, we are going to do whatever it takes, go get this guy, spend any amount of money, and then everybody else is left to deal with the fallout of it. And by the way, it's really quite something. The NFL suspended Stephen Ross one more day than Deshaun Watson. After everything that's gone on, if the suspension that Sue Robinson recommended holds, Ross actually gets one extra day than Deshaun Watson does.
Well, hey, listen, I think the NFL has proven you want to tamper with women, not players.
The NFL's got quite
a track. I mean, Beal got a year, bro. Beal got a year for tampering with a player.
Yep.
Deshaun Watson gets 6 games tampering with 66 women.
I don't know if you're Goodell how you let that 6-game ban hold. I just don't. I know, and I've learned covering this sport to just wait and see how things play out because you never know, and God knows their disciplinary record is spotty at best.
Oh, God.
I don't know how Roger Goodell could honestly sit there and think to himself, this is good. 6 games. That's enough. Right. Like I, and then you read Robinson's findings and you say, how did she come to 6 games? Like right. I don't understand. And look, I get it. There's no criminal charges. I understand all that. There have been plenty of suspensions in the history of the NFL that didn't have criminal charges. Okay. I mean, this is 24 civil suits for sexual misconduct and or assault. Okay. This isn't one, which by the way, would be bad enough. This is 24. And one of which, by the way, is still not settled, is still going on.
And by the way, a team was also involved in helping this facilitate all of this. Okay.
It is such a horrendous look nationally for the league. That I feel like Goodell almost has no choice. He's going to have to just step in and say, hey, look, we're going to suspend him for more than this. But, again, I've learned with the NFL, do I think he'll step in and do it? Yes. Would I be shocked if he's playing week 7? No, I wouldn't be. Because that seems to be their mode of operation. You never know what you're going to get with them. Because sometimes you think, oh, it'll be a small suspension and it's big. And other times you think it's going to be huge and it's nothing. I remember when a couple of years ago, Tyreek Hill had an off season where he was under investigation for potentially harming his young son, and turned out that no charges were ever filed. He wasn't suspended. But in the very beginning, when it first came out, when it was first reported that his son had allegedly broken his arm, and there was a lot of talk about, well, this is it. I mean, Kansas City, the thought was, oh, he's got to get traded. He's got to be dealt. And nothing ever came of it, you know, right, wrong, what otherwise. I mean, it just ended up being something where he wasn't fined a dollar, he wasn't suspended, nothing was charged, nothing was brought. You just don't know with these things. You never. There's a lot of twists and turns with these types of stories, and with Watson, obviously, that there's way more going on than what was going on with Hill in the sense he's been, you know, sued to the hilt. But NFL's looking at 6 games right now, and I'm curious to see if they'll add on to that.
Yeah, I'm amazed how women still follow this sport. I really am, because they have zero respect for women, and it's proven over and over and over again. All right, tell them about Stack in the Box and, of course, your work there at FanSided.
Yeah, I am currently on vacation, which is why the background behind me is different. But you'll still get Stack in the Box every Monday. I don't take that big of a vacation, so we'll do that. And then once I get back in a little over a week, Stack in the Box, the podcast every Tuesday.
And we need some light in front of you, by the way, because you're disappearing on us because the light is behind.
I know. Well, I'm in a lake house which I'm happy about this, but there are windows everywhere. So this is like the darkest spot I could possibly find. I looked everywhere. We don't have curtains. Yeah, I know. I tried to figure
out. Now you look good. There you go. There you look good. When you get
if I lean back, it's over. But Stack in the Box, the column. There, see, I disappeared again. Stack in the Box, Mondays, the column. Tuesdays, the podcast. You can find me on Twitter, at Matt Verderams, you see on your screen. That should cover all bases.
There you go. Follow him on Twitter there, at Matt Verderams. Matt, as always, I appreciate you, my brother. We will catch up next week here on our huddle on behalf of redrecover.com. I appreciate you, my man. Thank you.
It sounds good. Take care.